right, we're one down for the final hour of the Noodle Show featuring Overdrive with a Hayes replacement.
I know.
I mean, he walked out on you.
He did walk out on us. I'm worried that on his show tomorrow, he will find a way to try and run sound for like half an hour and be on the DVP at like 6:30. We can't allow him to do that, because if we ran sound, he would just walk out of the building.
What about, just thinking on the fly here, a tie line from O's condo, so he can pull the I'm watching hockey in the evening act, boxers, nobody can see him, nugs, ooh, Dorito chips
on his shirt,
the orange crusty powder.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would be concerned. Like, O's a big fan. He's a knowledgeable hockey guy, but he's a big fan. And if he's watching a Leaf game, he gets pretty enthralled. I've sat with him in the press box. Like, he'll yell.
Oh, there's no doubt. I was sitting beside him in one of the playoff games. The best thing about sitting beside O in the press box at a Leafs game is his reactions are so over the top that a stupid idiot like me, who has to be in a suit and look completely objective because I'm in the press box and there's no cheering in the press box, he gets so like rowdy that everybody's looking at him. So when I come out with the little wimpy fist pump, nobody notices.
Well, is that a rule from a media standpoint?
No cheering in the press box.
Is that through all sports?
Yeah. Generally speaking, yeah. There's no cheering in the baseball press box, for sure.
But it's interesting because last year, Rob Rossi. That's what Rob Rossi got into it with Barry Trotz. Rossi's a Pittsburgh beat guy.
Yes.
Didn't like a hit. Got into it with Trotz, and it got personal. I think Rossi went on his own, like whatever that's called, the Instagram Live, and had a rant about Trotz and said, you've never won anything and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, that was his fandom coming out. Like, to me, that was unprofessional. Like,
do you think it was his fandom of the Penguins?
Yes.
Or do you think he was turnt because he'd had a tete-a-tete with the other team's head coach?
He said,
to hell with this. I'm going live on my Insta, and I'm going to say what I think.
He thought it was a dirty hit. I can't remember the exact play, but he didn't like the hit. And it was on, I don't know if it was on Crosby. Maybe it was Niskanen on Crosby. I think that's maybe what it was.
I'm doing a quick search here.
I mean, what's Trotz going to say? Even if he didn't like the hit, he's not going to go, you're right, Rob, you know what? Niskanen's got to be a lot better on that situation. Like, sometimes you're asking a question, and you know you're going to get a terrible answer, because nobody's going to be candid and be like, you know what, you got me here, or you got that player. And I think Trotz just said, listen, wasn't called a penalty, I'm fine with it, move on. And he took heat for it, and then Rossi got pissed about it, and he got pissy about it and took it personal. You know, I think Rossi's a good reporter, but I looked at that and I said, that's fandom coming out, because I think he almost used the words we, like it, Pittsburgh's going to, you know, kick your ass again type of thing. And I was like, just relax. Like, he's a good writer. He follows Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins the cup. You move on. But he took a shot at Barry, and I didn't like that, because I think Barry Trotz is a quality person. And they didn't make it to the cup, and Pittsburgh did, but it's not like Rob Rossi was out there playing.
And the strange thing about the job, Noodles, and it's not across the board, because some people move and they're in different cities, but oftentimes you can end up covering the team that you grew up cheering for.
Right,
and everybody knows me as a Cubs fan, but I'm a Toronto kid. I'm born and raised in Oakville. I mean, I grew up going to the Gardens. I grew up going to the Sky Dome. My dad worked at the Sky Dome. I was at every big Blue Jays moment in the early 90s, because I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be there. So I remember all of that. So there's like almost like a family connection to the Dome for me. It's a special place. You know, my grandparents are gone, but they were at all the big games in the early 90s. When I walk into that stadium, I see a lot of people in my head who were important to me, who are no longer with us. But you know this because you played. I mean, you probably grew up, would you cheer for the Oilers growing up?
I didn't, but I cheered for players. Like, Grant Fear was one of my favorite goalies. I ended up playing with Grant and still are am friends with him. That was a bit surreal and weird initially because you're playing with your idol and then...
But that makes you a bit of an outlier, right? Because in the late 70s and early 80s, kids have favorite teams.
I think I am very unique when it comes to that because you've always had a favorite team. I just remember having favorite... Mike Liut was one of my favorite goalies. Obviously, I grew up, and I've told this story on the show before. Gretzky was in my backyard. The Oilers were winning cups in my backyard. And I one time there was a cup parade. I'm like, I'll go next year. Because they were just winning every year. Isn't that... It's insane to think now, but that's what I remember as a 12-year-old thinking. Like, they'll win next year. It's fine. I'll go next year's.
Yeah.
You're spoiled. So... That's the type of stuff I was lucky. I was an outlier. I didn't have a favorite team.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, sometimes you end up covering the team you grew up cheering for, but then at the same time you have a job to do and it almost forces objectivity when you're in the media and you actually begin to feel objective about it. You have kind of less of that personal investment. Well, here's somebody with a big investment in the National League Championship Series. He is the vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at 9 Eastern tonight, the Dodgers will take on the Cubs in Game 3 as the series shifts to Chicago. The Dodgers so far 5-0 in this NL playoff push as they make the push toward the World Series for the first time in almost 30 years. Alex Anthopoulos is on the line. Alex, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Doing well. Out at Wrigley Field right now and... hurry up and wait at this point. Just anxious to get started.
I mean, what's the anticipation level for you guys here right now, Alex? Because, I mean, as I just outlined, it has been a real nice run through the playoffs to this point, and kind of unlike previous playoff pushes. You guys seem to be in the playoffs every year, but previous playoff pushes where you got through the division series such that you had some rest and you could line everything up into the championship series, and it's playing out so far nicely for you.
No, you're right, and that was big, and look, the Diamondbacks were tough. I mean, they had beat us the last 6 times they played us during the season, and you know, there's no doubt they were a tough opponent going into round one, and to win 3 in a row against them was huge. I mean, everyone did a great job. The rotation, the bullpen's been outstanding, you know, all 5 games. So it's tough, but then you come in and you play the Cubs, and look, they had to grind it out against the Nats. You know, those are pretty exciting games, and you know, I think it was certainly helped us to give guys a blow, line up our bullpen, line up our rotation, give everybody some rest. I can tell you, starting at home last year, we didn't get to start at home. We didn't have home field, and you know, even back from the Toronto days. You know, now with a little more experience and having been on the other side, I definitely appreciate and value home field a lot more than I probably did back then.
You do. That's a fascinating one for me because, I mean, and I sit back and I watch either objectively or as a fan, as the case may be, and sometimes, Alex, I'll be honest, I kind of like, from a fan's perspective, the us-against-the-world mentality of going into the visiting arena or going into the visiting ballpark. What is it? I mean, the baseball advantage is you have the opportunity to walk it off, but what outside of that do you appreciate most?
I think just the comforts of home. You know, ideally you want to get off to a good start. And look, all that said, you still would like to have rest and you don't want to have a beat-up bullpen or not be able to line up your rotation. Those are the most important things. But you know, when we're able to combine both, I think I just look back to, I sat in the stands in Kansas City, those games in Toronto. It was just, I couldn't take it. I had to go inside. The fans are on top of you. They're loud. They're yelling. They're screaming. Just a very hostile environment. You've obviously seen what's gone on in Toronto the last few years when they're in the playoffs, the environment. Being here in Chicago, tough place to play. Fans are on top of you. It's not a, you know, when you're on the road, it's not necessarily a comfortable place to play. And being at home, just having all those things, being able to sleep in your own bed, line things up, to hopefully get off to a good start, I do think helps quite a bit.
With Alex Anthopoulos, the VP of Baseball Operations for the LA Dodgers, they're up 2 games to none on the Cubs. Game 3 goes tonight, a little bit later on in Chicago. Corey Seager was the one story, I guess, Alex, that represents a bit of a hiccup for you guys. Injures himself in the series-deciding game against Arizona, and then quite surprisingly, at least to all of us on the outside, he's left off of the NLCS roster as he works to heal his back. Where's he at right now? And if you guys make the World Series, are you confident he'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard at this point to predict, you know, where things are going, but I can tell you that he's been improving. He's been improving each day, so that's certainly the good news. We had a decision to make, obviously, coming up with this series set in the roster, and after consulting with doctors and him and everybody else, that was a decision we ultimately made. But look, we're always going to be optimistic. The fact that he has improved and he does continue to get better each day is certainly a very good sign. But beyond that, it's just too hard to say right now. And look, the last thing we're doing is even going to look ahead to a series. I mean, we've all seen, we're only two games into this. There's been a lot of examples of things being able to change. So the focus, obviously, he is a loss, huge part of our team during the year. But at the same time, you know, the one hallmark that this team has had is we've been very deep. We've had guys step up, and even a guy like Charlie Culberson, the first few games, did a lot of nice things for us. Sack flies, base hits, things like that. Plays great defense, shortstop. So far it's worked out for us. He is a loss, but hopefully we're going to continue to get through it.
This is not specific to your team or to really any team, but it more general, Alex, your thoughts on the way that teams approach how they utilize their pitchers in the playoffs. And I know off days are a big factor here. You can get guys a little extra rest here and there. But a couple of things, starting with the usage of starting pitchers in relief, kind of as the piggyback guy off the starter if he has a short or a kind of a medium night. I don't remember that being en vogue just a few years ago. It seems to be all the rage these days.
No, you're right. It's definitely seemed to have evolved. And even I know last year, Dave Roberts started using Kenley Jansen earlier in the game. And the big thing was you have guys that are normally used to the traditional role of ninth inning closer, things like that. And, you know, you look at a guy like Kenley Jansen, I've gotten to know him here the last few years, and great team guy. And, you know, I think what's great about Dave is that he's not locked into any specific strategy. He basically felt like, hey, we all know this. You know, the game might be won or lost in the seventh inning or in the eighth inning. You know, you may need your top reliever for the middle of the lineup, and you know you can't just wait for the ninth inning to use your best reliever. And Kenley Jansen last year was going a lot more than an inning; was coming in early, did a great job, and you saw the Indians do it with Andrew Miller, guys that are really selfless. And now you have starters that come in as well. So I think really the mindset, and I'm pretty sure most teams feel this way, you just want to get outs, and you're looking for who's going to match up the best against certain guys, right, left, whether you're throwing sliders, curveballs, the guys you're going up against. Maybe certain guys don't do well against sliders, don't do well against velocity, don't do well against curveballs. So I think when it comes playoff time, because you have off days and you're able to line things up a little bit more, you're just trying to get outs and kind of match up any way you can.
How pleased have you been, and the front office in general, been with the performance of Yu Darvish since you picked him up at the trade deadline, specifically through September and into the playoffs?
Yeah, no doubt. He got off to a good start, scuffled a little bit in the middle, and then those last few outings, they obviously into the playoffs, he's been outstanding. You know, gotten to know him a little bit as well, too. The stuff is outstanding. It's tremendous. Cerebral guy overall, really prepares, really pours through the advance reports and any information that's made available to him. But, you know, what he did against the Diamondbacks, that, obviously we got to see them a ton this past year. That's a really tough 1-8. That's just the lineup is really tough. And what he did against them on the road, you know, that ballpark's a tough place to pitch as well. He shut them down. And, you know, there's a lot of expectations, pressure, things like that. For him to step up in a game like that, you can't say enough. So we've been thrilled, and we feel great when he's on the mound.
Wanted to ask you about one more guy on your roster currently, and Blue Jays fans will remember him really well, and it seemed like things were star-crossed for Brandon Morrow when he was here in Toronto. We know that he's a type 1 diabetic, and to the degree to which that affected his ability to recover from injuries, I suppose we'll never know for sure, but when he was in there and he was firing, he was on, but he would also miss significant chunks of time with injury. He came up I mean, what did you, you kind of had him on a tryout in camp. He didn't make the team out of camp. You bring him up, and now he's lights out, and you trust him with big outs in the seventh and eighth inning. He's throwing 99-100. I mean, this is a hell of a story, isn't it?
It is, but you know what? In fairness, obviously, Brandon was a top pick. He closed in Seattle early in his career. No, even what we all saw in Toronto for a period, that 1 year, I think he pitched about 180 innings and struck out 220. We all remember the 17 strikeout, one hit game. He's had electric stuff, but like you said, being able to maintain his health as a starter, logging innings every 5 days, that was a challenge for him. And I do remember at the end of 2014, we basically ran out of time to bring him back as a starter, and he came back out of the bullpen for us. And he still had very good stuff and very good velocity that year. And he had a $10 million option. We declined it. But we talked to him at the time about wanting him back as a reliever. But you know, as he told me on the phone back then, his heart was still starting, and he wanted to exhaust it. So, you know, spent that time in San Diego trying to be a starter. When the offseason came around, Farhan Zaidi brought up his name, and we talked about it. Obviously, I had a lot of familiarity with Brandon. We both got on the phone with him. And, you know, basically want to know that he would want to commit to being a reliever full-time and that he's prepared to leave starting behind, and he was. And, you know, I think now in short spurts, totally healthy, we're seeing the ability that, you know, we saw in spurts at times, and he's been huge for us.
With the vice president of baseball operations for the L.A. Dodgers, Game 3, Dodgers and Cubs. Dodgers up 2-0, goes at Wrigley a little bit later on tonight. Alex Anthopoulos.
Alex, I know you can't technically comment on Jose Bautista until he becomes an unrestricted free agent, but that'll happen sooner than later. But maybe you can just overall talk about your experience with him, and even if you believe that he'll play in the league and continue to play in the league and get another contract.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly can talk about, you know, again, I can't, like you said, there's certainly big, but yeah, my experiences with him obviously were great. I owe a lot to him for my career, you know, individually, but for the organization, the franchise, everything he did. I think the most rewarding thing was knowing how great a player he is and the great years that he had while I was there, finally seeing him get the opportunity to, you know, to play in the playoffs, come up big. I still get the chills when you say the words game five. I think everyone knows what you talk about. And like, as I say it now, I still get the chills when you think back to it. And that's what sports are about. That's what, that's why I think a lot of us follow and fans. And when you can make memories like that and have an experience like that, and he provided that for the team, can't say enough good things. And I was able to obviously, watch a little bit of that last game, to see, you know, that last home game. And I thought that was first class from the organization, to the coaches, Gibby, his teammates. I can't say enough about how that was done and how that was handled overall. So I'm always going to have great things to say about him, and hopefully one day we'll all get to watch him go up there on the level of excellence.
No question about it, he'll be there, and we will never, anybody who was in the building watching on TV will never forget the bat flip game. Alex, best to you and your Dodgers, and we'll catch up again. Maybe as you're getting fitted for some jewelry, but I won't jinx it. So just enjoy the run as best you can.
All right, guys. Thanks. Talk soon.
You bet. Alex Anthopoulos is the vice president of baseball operations for the L.A. Dodgers.
Pretty exciting time for him.
Yeah. Well, this is what you work for, right?
Yeah,
it's what you live for.